Podcasting 2.0 for January 5th, 2024, episode 162, Unwise, Unwrap. Well, 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 hello everybody, welcome to 2024, welcome to Podcasting 2.0. This is the official board meeting of podcasting. Forget any other show. This is where podcasting takes place. This is where you hear what's really going on with the podcast industrial complex, with the future of podcasting, with value for value, everything with the namespace, podcastindex.org, and of course, everything we're discussing at podcastindex.social. The only boardroom without an agenda or meticulous minutes. That's right. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man whose alpha is better than your beta. Say hello to my friend on the other end, Dave Jones.
Hello.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
Were you muted?
Yes, I mean, because I'm muting myself.
Because you were munching on something again?
No, I was frantically typing and moving crap around on my screen. I didn't want to make a bunch of noise. I'm live troubleshooting the AP bridge.
Oh, boy. Yes. For those who were not listening live, we were waiting for... We've had some problems with the Fediverse bridging. There's a few issues. A few issues. So,
what I'm going to do... So, you got the live pod ping went out.
Yes, it went out because we saw it come through the boost, the live bot. Yeah.
I got it. Mm-hmm. I got it on my phone.
We are live and lit. Hello, everybody. Hello, Sam Sethi in the UK. Hello. Got your red wine? He's drinking. We've driven him to drink.
We tend to do that with most people.
Most people have to drink when they listen to us. Yes, I know.
Yeah. If you're recovering, don't listen to this show. You will fall off the wagon. So it's funny, by the way, whenever you send the live pod ping out, all the apps start push notifications. Bloop, 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 bloop. It's like, woof from the office.
Yeah, I had to turn a couple of them off because it was my screen was getting too crowded. You know, it was making me anxious. Like, I wake up in the morning, there's a whole row of things. Now, of course, subsequently, I sometimes miss the new media show ping, which is a bummer because I love interacting with those guys live. That's always hilarious.
Let's see. Okay, so I'm gonna ping the hub right now, so we know the podcast, the pod ping live notification went out because we got that, and the podcast live bot
picked it up
on ActivityPub. Picked it up.
I got notifications here.
So I'm going to do, let's see, hub.podcastindex.org/pub notify. ID equal 920666, which is this show.
What is up with the 666 ID, man? That's a little irritating. That was just chosen for us at random by...
No, we're being stalked by a dark...
By Satan?
we have a boostergram from Satan today as well, so we're going to have to...
Okay.
Let's see.
All right.
Live.
So all what right. Dave is doing, if you're new, we are working on fedifying the podcast index, which means that you can actually follow podcasts, any podcast in the index from any Mastodon account or anything that speaks ActivityPub, which is cool because it basically has built the biggest podcast app in the world. It's the way I see it. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of groovy things we can do with it, which, and you only had this working last week. So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me that stuff breaks and burps and farts and does stuff. It's fine.
Oh, this is the alphaest of alpha software at this point. I mean, it's barely hanging together.
And it's funny how I get used to just, oh, okay, it's working good. I'm putting it into my production flow. We're rocking and rolling.
that's why I rolled this out to you, because you break the heck out of everything.
It's my job. It is my absolute job.
It's an absolute, you're a hammer. It's not coming through. This is aggravating.
Is it in the inbox though? Is it in the inbox?
The inbox?
You mean
the outbox?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. One guy's outbox is another guy's inbox. Okay. That's just a matter of looking at things.
Let's see, outbox. I don't know. Let's check.
Because that's what happened last time. Someone said, oh, look, it's in the outbox. So it seems to me like some kind of signing issue. How about that?
This would not be in the outbox. typically.
But because I had posted No Agenda and it wasn't showing on the Fediverse, but it was in the Outbox.
Yes. So, okay. Well, here's, yeah, it's not in the Outbox. This would not be in the Outbox because the live notifications do not go into the Outbox.
Ah, there's a bridge to the bridge.
Yes.
Ah. Take it to the bridge.
It says we're bridging bridges. Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay. So the regular posts when new episodes go into the feed, those are in the Outbox.
Right. Got it.
Live notifications do not go into the Outbox. Now, maybe they should, but that it doesn't seem like it. I don't know. I mean, I'm open to.
Well,
I'm open to have my mind changed.
Why don't you just, since we're on the topic, I have it at the top of my list. Let's just give us a little status on the fedification of the index, because this is where we left off last year. And I'm super excited by this development. It opens up so many opportunities once we get it to work.
Stephen Crater said, where do they go then?
Who knows? Into the ether, man. Stop asking questions, Crater.
Yeah. Like, okay. So they go to the inbox of other servers, which also answers Eric PP's question. He says, does the bridge also have to post to to Mastodon's inbox? Yes. So
bridge to nowhere.
That's right. Let me just go back and talk a little bit about structure, because basically this week with the AP bridge was nothing but refactoring. Mm-hmm. The code that I've worked on all week is not even in production yet.
Okay.
Cause I can't, I ran out of time. I was trying to what I need to do really before I can get this thing to be open is take out those hard-coded keys. And so that's what I was trying to do this morning. And I just did not have time. So, that's all I have to do. And then I'm going to open it up. That should be, it's stupid because it should be a simple thing. It should be like, you know, just something so easy. But with Rust, that's often where you go it. Check yourself into the insane asylum is when you think that this should be easy.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, you know, this, this static, you need to have a static lifetime because this variable doesn't live long enough and goes out of scope before it's like, oh,
yeah, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So
you might as well have a girlfriend if you're going to talk that language to me.
Well, that's why you don't have girlfriends if you're going to talk that language. If you know how to talk that language, you have no women in your life.
Right.
Or if you do, they all hate you. But so here's the way the structure is currently. And this is for the refactored code as well as what's actually live right now. So there's a web server. Remember, this is all based on the core this core little tiny elegant web server framework of the Helipad and MKUltra and Podping.cloud are based on. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple. It's a main process thread that spawns individual threads for incoming web requests, and then there's a router. And then there's a request handler. It's just the whole thing is like, I don't know, 500 lines of code mm-hmm. for an entire web server. And it's like rock solid. So that's what the core of it is. But then when you start the server, it also spawns two additional threads. So one thread is an episode checker. And it just on a loop checks constantly with the index to find out if there's been new episodes.
Wow. Shouldn't it be using Podping?
Well, that's
next level.
There's no, it does. So, but not all feeds are Podping.
Of course.
So it's constantly doing that. And It's like once, it's like 1 a second, you know, it's not, it's being nice. So then it's doing that. There's one, there's a, and it's just a loop and it's running all the time. And then there's another loop, another thread that gets spawned to listen to Spurlock's Podping WebSocket.
Right. That's what's supposed to do the live update.
Yes. And so whenever it basically just the thread spawns, it, it connects to the WebSocket and then enters a loop waiting for a read, for read activity. When a new message comes in, it checks, it calls the index. Because here's the issue. So there's a little bit of, I don't know what you would call it. There's a little bit of running around that has to happen because Podping operates on feed URLs. That's really all it can operate on. So it operates purely on feed URLs.
And a reason code.
And reason codes, yes. And mediums. So a payload for a Podping is a feed URL, a medium, and a reason code. The feed URL, so there's no sense of any kind of feed ID anywhere in this. But the AP bridge operates on feed IDs.
So you have to do a lookup there.
Yes. So there has to be a reverse lookup. So I'm watching the Podping WebSocket. And when a message comes in, I say, okay, podcast just went live and it's this feed URL.
What's the ID?
How do I know if that's one that we watch or not? Does anybody follow this? You know, who knows? So I have to convert that feed URL into a podcast index ID, which requires a podcast index lookup. So every time I see a live Podping go out, you got to do a lookup on the API, get the ID. But at the same time, you don't want to have to do multiple calls. So you just go ahead and do all of them at once. So basically there's an endpoint. I'm not even sure if I've made it public yet, but there's an endpoint called live, live by feed URL. Okay. And you give it a URL and it gives you back all the live items that we currently know about for that URL. And a bunch of the, and all the feed metadata and everything that goes with it. So you can get the ID and everything. You can get every, all that stuff in one call. Well, if the feed, but we have to wait, you know, because the Podping goes out, then we parse the feed in the index and update the live item. But I have to wait for 60 seconds from getting the Podping to give the index time enough to parse the feed so that the index data is current, so that it gives me the, you know, like correct data about the current state of live.
Sure.
Okay. And so that's like the, there's like a timing, little bit of a run around here.
A time loop. Yeah. You can miss it. You can check too early.
Yes, yeah. You can check too early for sure.
This is a Rube Goldberg machine, man. I don't know what you're building here.
You know, that, I mean, that's basically
the dominoes go down. Yeah. Oh yeah, machine. The dominoes trip the spoon that hits the golf ball. It hits it falls into the glass. The glass splashes the water. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then a firecracker goes off and scares the chicken. You know, and lays an egg which falls on the spoon. Yeah, yeah, exactly. This is all of podcasting, by the way. It is a huge Rube Goldberg.
It's true.
Machine.
It's true. It's called interop in some worlds.
That's right. And so that's what's happening all the time. So what happened this past week when everybody started saying, "Hey, I'm not getting notifications of new episodes." One of those threads. The thread that checks the podcast index API had crashed.
First of all, how you should be very happy and you, I would say you can be proud of the fact that people were complaining. That means people were already like interested in it. This is good.
It warmed my heart.
It warmed your heart. And then immediately you got a black hole in your soul because your thread had crashed.
Your heart can be warm and pissed off at the same time. That is possible.
It's possible.
Yes.
It's possible.
Yeah. And so it had crashed. I don't know this for sure yet because I really could not afford the distraction of hunting that bug while also refactoring this code. I don't want to get off in too many different rabbit trails, but so just to what it almost certainly is, almost 100% sure this is what it is an unwise unwrap. So I unwrapped something that should have stayed wrapped. Is basically we've talked about this before. Rust is a modern language, and many modern languages employ this idea of a variable that you're able to wrap what you could call wrap a variable. So you can, let's say you have a variable of a podcast index ID. Mm-hmm. And so this variable is supposed to hold a number. So it should hold an integer, like the integer of this show, 920666. So that should be like, let's just say a 64-bit unsigned integer. That variable can, in modern languages like Swift and Rust and that kind of thing, they can be what's called wrapped, meaning that you can create a new type called, and actually in Rust, there's two different ones. You can have an option or some people call it an optional. You can have an option or you can have a result.
So it's like it's an abstraction of the variable.
It is. So the variable lives inside of the variable lives inside a type. And the type, let's just say option. Okay. So option can be either some or none. So none is sort of like null or nil. Or in JavaScript, undefined, something like that. Mm. It's just a value that means this thing empty. Isn't here. Yeah, what you're looking for doesn't exist, mm-hmm. essentially. And then the converse of that is sum, which means, yes, there is a value here. You're looking for a variable called podcast index ID. And I'm telling you, there is some value here. So you got to unwrap
it to figure out what it is.
Yes, exactly. You can safely.
Holy crap! I'm programming Rust, everybody.
You just did it. Print the transcript and compile it. Yes. So then there's also another version of that. It's very similar to that, called result. And so result is basically the same idea as option, except it operates. With you can have either an okay or error. Those are your two. Those, instead of sum and none, now you have okay and error. It's really meant for returning from a function and letting the calling method know whether or not that function was successful or not. So if you get back an okay, you unwrap it, you're good to go. You got your value.
You got
back.
Your value. You yeah, got it.
Yeah. So there is a... And it just, and again, like many, like most modern languages that incorporate this feature.
Hold on a second, Dave. Sam Sethi, wake up. Okay. I saw him dozing off.
We got him early in his first glass of wine. So he's still
lucky. We're lucky.
Yeah. So like most modern languages that incorporate this idea or this feature, there is a way to force the unwrapping. Okay. So now you're not checking to see if it's so like in Rust, you would say something like this. If podcast index ID dot is sum, meaning if it's there's there. A value there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if podcast index ID dot is none.
There, yeah.
Meaning there's nothing. None. So you would do a check like that beforehand, but when you're prototyping code and you're going quickly to get something
built, you just want to get it no matter what.
Yeah, because you're like, hey, I know I don't care if it crashes.
Yeah,
it's fine. It's kind of fine if it crashes, but I just want this. I don't want to have to build all this logic, all this error checking logic. I'll do that, quote unquote, later.
And that's what the wrapping is for error checking logic.
Right. And so you say, exactly, so that you can avoid crashing in runtime. But so you can do, I think in Swift, it's the exclamation point will unwrap a variable. In Rust, it's either the question mark or you can explicitly say dot unwrap. And that will treat the variable as if there's something there and will return its content. So but if there's nothing there, you get a thread panic and you crash.
Right, you crash. Okay, I got it. So that's the problem, is that it either checked too early, too late, or something, and it was zero, and you did a forced unwrap, and then it had nothing to do, and it went...
Yes, exactly. Thread panic, done. It doesn't crash the entire AP bridge. It only crashes the thread.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Well, that's what threads are for.
That's right. Exactly. It's exactly what thread. So what I should be doing is either one of, and most likely both of these two things. I should be properly checking all unwraps, which I'm almost certainly not doing. As Alex likes to say, unwrapping things is for Christmas. And also checking to see if the thread crashes and bringing it back to life, spawning a new thread. I'm doing neither one of those.
Okay. So, I got you.
So I'm a bad programmer.
Boy.
Naughty. I'm on the bad list.
All right. Oh my goodness. Thanks, Dave.
Is that a bad way to start a show?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, anyone's the boardroom is quiet. No one's saying anything anymore.
In the chat. Their
heads are all on their keyboards. You know, I'm expecting any minute now for someone to shoot a whole long row of P's, you know, just falling asleep on the keyboard. While we're at this level, let me just run through a couple of things. And then I have some thoughts. First of all, I want to congratulate Fountain on their Rewind. Every Apple and Spotify and everyone was doing, look at what you did this past year. And Fountain, did you get a Rewind email?
I did. It was pretty rad, too.
Wow. It showed me how much I'd supported. It showed me the top shows. It was shareable. It was just, it showed me all my some boosts. It was just a lovely piece of marketing. Marketing is the thing that we lack typically in,
very much
just
so.
Saying. So that was really cool. And not everybody has time for this, but I just wanted to say that was delightful. That's the kind of stuff that gets you people to pay attention to what you're doing. Two things. One, because I've been picking this up, you know, I think you've been in some of these threads. There appears to be a GUID duplication amongst a whole lot of WordPress feeds.
Yes.
What exactly is going on?
That's been around for a long time.
Is this people who are just using WordPress? Is it people who are using the PowerPress plugin? Is it what exactly happened there? Do you know?
Yeah, I do know. So there's a it's a PowerPress issue.
Oh, it is PowerPress. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. When PowerPress first released support for the podcast GUID, they had a bug in their code where it was giving everybody the same GUID.
Right. Okay. That's what we're seeing. And there's a lot of them.
Right. And then they fixed the bug, but there's many feeds out there that haven't upgraded to a later version of PowerPress yet.
Okay.
And so those things are sticking around with the buggy code where they're duplicating GUIDs.
But once people upgrade their PowerPress plugin, then it fixes it?
Yes. If they ever do, you know, like,
well, I can tell Horowitz for sure because he's one of them. That's where it came from. It's like, hey, DH Unplugged has this GUID that is, you know, in the index a million times. I could tell him to upgrade.
The last time I checked, and I don't know if you have a hard number on it, but the last time I checked, it was like something like 300 feeds or something like that.
I didn't count.
I mean, it wasn't like it was just like,
no, it's not horrible. No, it's not horrible, but it's, you know, but DH Unplugged is a big show and it should have its own GUID. So I'll make sure
he should also upgrade his PowerPress.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'll tell him to upgrade his PowerPress. 'Cause that's the problem. Obviously.
Yeah. it, I mean, Todd can jump in there and correct us if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember this when it happened because it, you know, where it first showed up was in transcribe.fm.
Ah, right. Now I remember that. Yeah.
It was, you would ask transcribe.fm for a transcript and it would give you back a transcript from some other show. And you're like, what?
Whoops.
Yeah. Right. And then we figured out that it was because of this issue.
I wonder if PodPress has some ping back that they can tell their plugin users, like, hey, upgrade
me.
Sorry.
I mean, steno.fm. Sorry, Nathan. Steno.fm. Yeah. I mean, he can, maybe that's, probably, yeah, maybe we need Todd to chime in.
Yeah. Second thing, which I think is a good thing, and this was a long thread, and this is something that True Fans has implemented, and I think Dovidas RSS Blue is implementing it, is publisher feeds. This, and I know we've discussed it. This, so let me just give you what I believe publisher feeds are. You correct me or not, because it's easier that way instead of me interpreting what you just said about Rust.
Okay.
So publisher feeds is a feed that will be marked with a special medium or whatever. Basically, this is a publisher feed, and it will mainly have remote items in there, so that you can always go to the publisher. And so I may be the publisher of three different podcasts. I might even be the publisher of an audiobook, et cetera, et cetera. And that would all be in my publisher feed, which makes things for podcasting. There's all kinds of uses, but there's definitely uses for music. Mm-hmm. So do I have that right? That's what a publisher feed is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had this on my list to talk about too. Let's see, I wrote down a couple of notes. Yeah, that the publisher, their validation process is there's a feed for publishers that contains remote items.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remote items, it's basically a feed of feeds.
Yeah, exactly. So I could have a feed of all of my podcasts, and you could subscribe to that feed and you'd get every new episode from each podcast that I publish through that feed, if you wanted. Is that correct?
I think you could code it that way.
Oh, okay. I understood. Okay. It's more for display purposes than for under the hood functionality, but it could be used that way.
Yeah, you were, the way you described it is sort of like an OPML.
I know.
Subscription list.
As it was coming out of my mouth, I'm like, dude, I just gave him an OPML feed. No, okay.
But I think you could do that, though. I mean, like you could code it up that way where you could look at it and then, like, sort of
parse it.
Like, you could go through to the source feed. Yeah, you could do that, but I don't know that that was what their goal was.
Something to consider, perhaps.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
well, they had two different versions. Did you see that? It was like a publisher, they had a publisher feed, and then these are mediums we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Publisher, medium equals publisher in this feed. And so when it's a feed of medium publisher, you know that this is basically just a list of other feeds where this publisher owns. Mm-hmm. And then there was a publisher L, which is like, so you have a feed of other feeds, and then you have sort of like a playlist of other feeds, which is more what you're thinking, kind of like along the lines you're thinking of. Really following.
Yeah. All right. So there's two. I hadn't figured that one out yet. Okay. So that's very much like, so that's a playlist because it's L. So playlist, it's a playlist. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I don't see why you wouldn't just have one and just parse it different. Well, I guess it's the same thing. It just seems like it seems to me like you'd want to have the functionality in both cases.
Well, the whole idea here, and I think it's a good one, is that you have, you can't, you know, you're trying to avoid this situation where, okay, I'm a feed and I need to, and I'm claiming that I'm published by the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
And I show that somewhere in my author tag or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but I'm lying about that. I don't, I'm not actually a New York Times feed. I'm just trying to ride that train or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have this, all you have this other side, which is the publisher feed, which if it lists your feed URL as part of its member, as a member, and you list the publisher feed as your parent, well, then you have sort of this dual, this loose dual validation where it's like, I'm saying I belong to you and you're saying that I belong to you. So we can be sure that I belong to you.
Okay. That makes sense.
Cause the only other way to do it is with something like a public, you know, like a public key signing or something.
Right. So where does that go in the, so if I'm the publisher of several podcasts and I have no agenda and I want to validate no agenda as being a part of the Adam Curry publishing empire, where in my no agenda feed would I put what for that validation?
My understanding was that there was a new tag for publisher. Let me make sure that that's right.
And so the tag for publisher, that would have a feed URL and that refers back and forth, and it has a validation in the publisher remote item feed.
The content. Okay. So here, yeah. Okay. This is okay. Here's how, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. There's a couple of proposed ways to do it, but this one is using remote items with a medium of publisher. So the remote, So the medium of publisher, let me try to, this gets confusing when you're trying to just describe. So, okay. You're the New York Times. Let's use you. Okay. So you are Adam Curry. You have currently how many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 podcasts?
Something like that. Yeah.
No Agenda, Podcasting 2.0,
Curry and the Keeper, MoFax, Boost the Gram
Ball. Yeah. So five, you got 5 shows. So you would create a new feed, which would be a publisher, which would be a feed where it had a podcast medium of publisher. Then you would have remote items you would have 5 remote items in the channel of that feed.
Yep.
The one for each of those shows with referencing, you know, the feed good, the URL, the medium. So then you, in each of your shows where you have, in each of the actual feeds, No Agenda, Podcasting, Topuno, MoFax, blah, blah, blah. In each of those shows, you would put in a podcast remote item link back to the publisher feed, and the remote item would be a medium of publisher.
Okay.
So that would serve as a link back to the parent, sort of the publisher parent feed, to say, I belong to this publisher.
Got it. Who is this for? Who gives a rat's ass about this is what I'm trying to understand.
Musicians primarily.
Okay, good. That makes sense.
So yeah, like you would have, that way you could have as many feeds as you want. But if somebody wants to say, I want to listen to all the albums by Ainsley Costello.
Then you go to the publisher. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Right. That makes total sense.
And you can follow it up the chain too. So if you're on one of her albums, you have a link by default going to the publisher feed.
Right.
So you can sort of step up one level.
And then say, what other albums does Ainsley Costello have?
Exactly.
Got it. Which could even be a sub publisher of like a bigger entity.
Yeah. Because for sure.
So can you include a, yeah, I guess you can. So she could be Ainsley Costello. She's a publisher of all these albums, but she is then a sub of like Phantom Power Records or whatever.
Yeah.
So that so yeah, she could put a publisher tag in that would refer up to her record, quote unquote, record label or whatever the entity is, or which goes all the way up to God, yeah, ultimately. God's sitting at the top with this big publisher tag, a lot of remote yeah items.
and his GUID is one. Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
So, you could see that as something like, what's a good example of that? Like, is it Wondery? Aren't they owned by Amazon?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So you could have a Wondery publisher list, but then Amazon podcasts could be like one level higher.
Got it.
That had multiple publisher feeds in that feed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That would work. Yeah.
That makes mm-hmm sense. Okay. Well, so what do we need to do to make that official?
Well, I have it on my list to put it into that we need to talk about this in general. So, I mean, this is like it's the first show of 2024, baby. We have to talk about strategy for phase seven.
Yeah, and now baby, it's time for some hot namespace talk.
2024 is hotter than 2023.
It's the hottest namespace year on record.
That's right.
According to the IPCC.
Yes.
I don't know if we have what we have in phase seven. I don't know if we've talked about it, but what we have in phase seven so far is I was actually in the Activity Pub bridge code here. And I think I found the unwrap that killed us. But
it irritates you.
It does. It does. Let me go back to the namespace repo though. Cause I have a plan doc for phase seven.
He's got a plan. Already. He's the man with the plan.
The plan. Okay, here it is. So what we have on the list right now is to try to get into phase seven is authorization. So this podcast verify ownership tag thing, adding key send addresses in the value recipient, and chat podcast chat tag.
Say again. Give them again. Sorry, I was distracted. Okay.
Podcast the verify ownership tag.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then adding the key send address.
Right. Right.
To the value recipient.
That's the Albie Fountain tag, yeah.
The Albie Fountain thing. Then the podcast chat tag,
mm-hmm,
which is the ephemeral version of Social Interact.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that's in the plan right now. So so two questions. I mean, we add this. I can add this right now. I think I should, the publisher thing.
Well, we have implementations. Mm-hmm. That's usually our rule. That's
right. Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Now, of course, that means Sam Sethi will be driving the entire namespace because he implements everything. He wakes up in the morning. Oh, I got an idea. Boom. Make it a tag.
Wait, this is what. Okay. The rule typically was the loose rule was always we need at least one host and at least one app to implement it.
Yeah. We may need to
expand that to say at least two apps because Sam's going to implement everything. So Sam's the default. He's a gimme.
Right.
So we need two apps to say, okay. we need Sam plus one.
One host and two apps or two hosts and two apps?
One host and then whoever Sam's plus one
two girls,
one
cup. Somehow that just jumped into my head. I don't know what happened there.
Yes. Two, one host, two apps. Yes.
One host, two apps. Okay. That sounds fair.
And I think Wavelake's already talking about it. Dovey Doss is the one that.
Yeah. He's running with scissors over there. Yeah.
So there's your two hosts. There's two hosts right there.
Yeah. So we just need one more app to implement it.
Well, I mean, Stephen Bell's a slam dunk because he wants this functionality.
Yeah. Cause he'll put it into Ellen Beats and all that stuff. And CurioCaster. By the way, if I can just say thank you, Stephen B. He made an integration between M Airlist, which is the playout software I use, and the SplitKit. So now when I'm doing a Boostergram ball tomorrow, God willing. When I,
yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah, tell me about it. So now I just load up the song into my player. The minute I hit the play button, the timer sets the start time in the split kit.
Oh, wow.
So I no longer have to start and then go over there and then click to make that the active block for the remote item. It just does it. And it's like magic. It's beautiful how he did that. It's so cool.
Like, how did he do that, though? Because I thought MRList was a compiled, like, a Windows software.
Ah, yes. But you have a, let me see what it's called here. Because MRList is meant for, you know, radio-type deals. Mm. So you have a logging function, and you can add stuff to it.
Okay.
So you could technically send the song data to your Icecast server, but it also has HTTP GET. So you send a GET request to the Curio hoster with some Stephen Bell magic sauce.
Yes.
And on the split kit you have, and so you give it a username password pair in MRList, and that corresponds with your username password pair in the split kit. And then when you download the songs through the split kit, he has metadata in there that identifies what song it is. And so that is sent from MRList to the Stephen Bell Empire. And then the Stephen Bell Empire goes, ah, okay, who's logged in as this? Oh, it's him. Boom. WebSocket. Whoo!
Okay. Flips it. So this is like a webhook.
Yeah, webhook, I think is what it is, yeah.
Okay.
It's beautiful. Okay. Who cares what it is? It works.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, but that's rad, though. It's cool that they have that ability.
It's yet again, Rube Goldberg machine. Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love this stuff. I love it so much.
Okay, so I just added publisher fees to Phase 7 to the plan list.
To the plan, but we still need a second app. To make it official. We have Stephen Bell, of course. Beautiful.
I mean, we don't have explicit confirmation, but I mean, it's in my bones. I feel it in my bones.
You feeling me, Smalls? You feeling me? Yeah.
It's there. He's a slam dunk. Let's see. Added to Phase 7. Okay. All right. We got that covered.
I have something to discuss.
Yeah?
It's your behavior, Dave Jones. No.
Like, am I getting detention?
It's like one of those, honey, we have to talk. What?
But no, the worst, it's worse than that when it's like, hey, can we talk?
Oh, and,
but not right now.
Later. Can we have a chat later? Yeah. It's the worst. I had two of those. I'm divorced twice. All right, here we go. Yeah. So I'm listening to the new media show. I didn't pull clips. And it was really quite beautiful because I finally understood not only how messed up, but how the podcast advertising system works. And I've always wondered, because I thought everybody was kind of on this IAB standard and didn't really matter where you hosted stuff, but it does. Mm-hmm. It sure does. And the IAB standard has some minimums, which whatever it is, they are able to determine unique download/play, like someone hit the play button for a minute of audio. That's their minimum for a minute of audio. And they can kind of determine uniqueness by setting time windows. I think it's unless you see that identifier come back within 2 hours, it's considered the same person. Mm-hmm. And everybody has different implementations of this IAB standard. And so it's not uniform at all. And what's interesting is that the ad buyers, they have their own knowledge. They have their own spreadsheets and they know exactly, okay, well, those guys, they overcount. So we discount them here. We feel that, and I probably think that Blueberry is probably one of the best at the stats because Todd has invested by his own admission a lot of time and resources and years, and he has a lot of external sources for, you know, bots and bull crap and all kinds of gaming, etc. So when people get when there's an ad buy and the podcast is on Blueberry, the advertisers will probably give the expected CPM because they know that Todd's numbers are pretty good.
Wait, but he said multiple times that he throws out tons of downloads.
Yes,
like,
yes,
he overcorrects
yes,
on purpose.
Yes. So when the iOS 17 apocalypse happened, his numbers didn't really go down because he has formulas and secret sauce, as he calls it, which I have no desire to taste, Todd. Yeah. He has secret sauce.
Keep your sauce to yourself.
He has secret sauce that he says that he has, that certain apps have certain behavior that he's bench tested, you know, over the years. And so he can get pretty close to like 70% or 75% of the actual listens of a percentage of the podcast apps or the person that the people who are listening to that podcast, which is pretty good. And I'm sure that it varies, and I'm sure that, you know, when there's an upgrade to some player, I'm sure he has to go in and everyone has to scramble around and figure out, did something change, etc. But it's all, the bottom line is, it's all bull crap. All of it is all ultimately just measuring 1 minute of download, which of course gives the advertiser really nothing. And, you know, the industry has moved from calling it downloads to plays. Okay, someone hit play, but they really don't know if someone listened at all. I mean, nobody absolutely knows if people are listening or how far they listen into the podcast or if they listen far enough to hear the ads. I mean, that's clear. And so ultimately, when you pop all the way back up the stack, the advertiser themselves, who go through the media or the agency, through the media buyer, ultimately down to either the podcast network or whoever's doing the buys. And so they wind up at Blueberry, and Blueberry says, okay, here's how our stats work. This is what we're going to give you in the results. And there's a reckoning after the fact. And that reckoning is, okay, we agreed on, for your network, we do $20 CPM, so $20 per 1,000 plays. If we did a buy and also include something that's on Libsyn, I have no idea, so I'm just using Libsyn as an example. They may say, well, we only give you $15 CPM because we know that your numbers are shit.
yeah, pretty much.
And they may not communicate that for between Blueberry and Libsyn. So this really works more by podcast host, or in a case of like Megaphone, let's just call them the host. So, and it's very complicated. There's a lot of overhead. There's a lot of log file processing. Seems like millions and millions have been invested in that, but there's no Nielsen. There is no Nielsen for podcast statistics. I thought there was, what AIB was, but it's not true. But there's an adjustment that the media buyers, who of course are very smart, they know, all right, those guys overcount, those guys seem pretty reasonable. I don't know what that spreadsheet looks like. Doesn't matter. But nobody really knows play numbers. And so they had this long conversation. Rob seemed kind of shocked by this. Rob seemed shocked that Todd was admitting that it's crap. But Todd doesn't care because all the people who are on his infrastructure, they get good numbers, and advertisers feel, or media buyers feel confident that those numbers are good. Now, ultimately, the advertiser, they'll look at their return on investment, which is the typical half of my advertising money is working. I don't know which half, because they really don't. All they know is they put X amount in and then sales went up. That's how it's supposed to work. Now, where that comes from, that comes into analysis, and it could be, you know, did it come from TikTok? Well, they may know some things. So all of this is very, very, very fuzzy. And then they get into this big conversation about nobody has player stats. Nobody has player stats. Yeah, well, actually, Spotify does. But Spotify, who knows what they're doing? Now, I just want to say up front, I love value for value. I think it is the way forward in general. For all media, It's just, it's a fair way to do it. Only the stuff that is really outstanding product and can build a community, because we're not in the land of one-way television. We're not in the land of one-way radio. It's interactive. You know, you only get people to support you with time, talent, and treasure, which, by the way, time and talent is very valuable. You know, there are people who are do things for my shows that would I could not afford, no matter how much money I made on the podcast. So it's also very valuable. I love value for value. That's in my heart. I am not anti-marketing. I'm just not. You can't be. The world, the economy runs on marketing. What I'm against is that the podcast industrial complex completely ignores, in fact, is very rude towards the audience and ignores the relationship that can and should exist between the podcaster and the audience. That relationship is everything. And what I mean by that is if I say, please boost us, people boost us. If I say, please use this app, a portion of the audience goes to use that app. I do that every single No Agenda show. And if you go look at OP3 for No Agenda show, you'll see that Podverse is very high. And now I've started talking about Podcast Guru. And so it works. I mean, this is the relationship. If I say, go buy this product, if I was honest and I'm authentic, I think people will go buy that product.
Oh, yeah.
So the way that has worked out with advertising, I'm just going to say marketing, because it's more fair to say marketing than advertising, but it's really, I know this sucks. I'm going to throw these ads in your face, but you're supporting us. That's not a way to go. That's a very negative relationship. And even the podcasters say it, they forget. They're stupid. They forget to even say that. You know, there's a lot of podcasts say, hey, you know, I got advertisers, please visit their websites. I'm going to read off their names now, whatever it is. It's irritating, but it feels better. But the one thing that nobody has is those player stats, except we do. And
who?
We.
The podcast index?
Well, let me start about me first. I have extremely valuable play statistics of all my podcasts. In fact, Dvorak and I use it regularly because when people are streaming Satoshis per minute, is it the whole audience? No. Is it a percentage of the audience? Yes. Can I make a reasonable assumption? So, for example, I look at it. I never look at downloads. I mean, once in a while, I look at just what does OP3 say for, you know, the overall monthly unique users or audience, whatever it is. It's interesting. Doesn't matter. Doesn't pay my rent. Yeah. And I'll go look at the, I'll go into Conchax.app because I have a split for No Agenda into Albi. And then I can look at my per show. I can look at a range of shows and say, where are people dropping off? And it's very, and we've noticed that it doesn't matter if we've moved our donation segment to the end of the show. Now, for a while there, it was for a couple of reasons. One, they were getting pretty long, and we would feel rushed if we did it midway of the show. It's like, you know, and then we start getting irritated by longer notes, et cetera. And we moved it to the back, and so the two things you look at is, one, did we get a drop-off in revenue? No. But did we get a drop-off in people listening? No. Interestingly, people would come back. And that, of course, is people who have supported the show. And so we use these, and it's per minute. And you can really see every show people drop off over time. That's normal. But it's very, very valuable for how I run my my podcast to know what people are doing. And I'm sitting there realizing, like, holy crap, this is exactly the data that marketers want to see. They want to know, were people listening when my ad played?
Right.
So interestingly enough, yes, Podcast Index does have that data because most of it. Most of the apps get the value block from the index, from our API. We hand off, and the deal is you're using our API, so we want 1%. So every payment We actually have that data for every single podcast that uses the value for value streaming Satoshi system. Now,
right.
I don't want to become.
I will say that. Well, let me just throw that in. It's totally anonymized data as well.
This is key. The only thing we have is a username, which often is anonymous podcast guru user or user 35924. Lots of times people put their aliases in. Sometimes people put their actual name in, but it is in this effect anonymous that we can't actually track much other than you sent this. If you sent a message, here's what the message was. Here's what podcast it was from. And now with value time splits, we often know at what point we know what point in the podcast, what minutes, et cetera, it was sent.
There's no IP addresses. There's
no, nothing, none of that. If I'm just before I continue with my rant here, if I'm not mistaken, although it hasn't been implemented, there is a way for these value payments to be sent that the podcaster could hit reply and send a payment back with a message. Am I correct?
Yes.
But almost no one is doing that, or what are we missing for that piece to work?
Well, I don't know how many apps do it currently. I know that we have, I know that CurioCaster does, and all of Stephen B's apps. Mm-hmm. We can look in the boost in the donation segment, and we can see, because with any boost that comes in where we read it in the segment, it also has some debugging information that shows what all is in the TLV record. And one of the things that's in the TLV that would show up is, and I notice them as I'm reading them, is if it has a reply to address. And if it has the reply to key send address, then you can boost back.
Yes, I see. Okay, so CurioCaster has a reply address, custom key, custom value, etc. Okay, and let me see. Fountain probably doesn't. It's probably only CurioCaster that's doing it. Okay, so that's possible. Imagine. Now, we're not going to become a statistics provider for anybody. We're not interested in that. But I can imagine a system. Remember, the most important part that everyone's overlooking in the podcast industrial complex, and I'm trying to offer a solution, at the same time an onboarding into the value for value system. If a podcaster has a tag they can put into their feed, which would be part of a remote item. But let's put it this way. It would surface a toggle feed in the app, which means I listen to ad. I'm going to say insertions just to make it simple. There's other ways of doing it, but to toggle ad insertions on or off. If I toggle it on, that means I'm going to get the inserted ad. And at the minute that ad plays, it's a value time split, which fires off a payment to a wallet that the advertiser, media agency, whoever's responsible for the tracking can see, which then immediately fires off a return payment. Thank you for listening to our ad. Are you with me?
So you're sending, let's just say one sat. You're sending one sat to the advertiser wallet, who then
they send you five back.
The sat to,
send you five. So here's from the high level. You can support us with value for value, or if you toggle the switch, the onboarding part. You can go pretty far down the road. Like, we'll give you a wallet automatically. We'll give you a wallet with 1,000 sats. There's a lot of things you can do. The point is to onboard people simply, effectively, and easily. And if you toggle ads on, then the minute you listen to an ad, it will fire off a payment, and you will actually, it will pay you for listening to that ad. Not a lot, but when I look at the stats that we have, of course, of all the apps, Fountain is miles ahead in transaction volume, not in payment volume necessarily, but in transaction volume. And I believe that's because the onboarding that they do with listen to any old podcast and we'll pay you a Satoshi per minute, which is not every single day, et cetera, because they have to manage that too. But I think that onboarding has been extremely successful. And so I just want to onboard people. And ultimately, the cost of sending one sat back, if you do a loop or five sats, doesn't matter, has to come out of the CPM. But I believe that that CPM will become more valuable if it's wrapped up in actual play stats where the advertiser has confirmation that a person listened to that ad. And you don't even have, and it will only track the remote item. It won't track, you know, the rest of your listening habit. Of course, we could do that, and there's lots of other things we could do. But all I'm trying to say here is we have a universe of apps that return player information that people are already doing. Let's make it official. Add the ad tag so it would surface a, yeah, I'll listen to your ads. If it's off, no insertion. How about that? It's just a crazy thought. If it's off, no insertion, the people are doing value for value. If it's on, you get an insertion, a payment fires off. You'll probably have maybe, if we're really lucky, maybe 1% of all listens across the board. But just like Todd has some secret sauce, you could add this in. I mean, I think that would make the... I want to destroy all other distribution systems and networks, okay? I want to destroy them. The way we destroy them is by making very accountable advertising work. And it doesn't take away from value for value, but it, in fact, it onboards people to value for value, gives podcasters an extra revenue stream if they don't have any ads or don't want ads. It can fund wallets. It can do a lot of things. I have no idea how to take this further other than it would probably be a wallet provider who would have to create this system. But everybody can win. Everybody's incentivized, especially if the podcaster communicates to their audience.
Okay, I have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first thing that pops out is I say that I listen to your ad, which sends a sat to you and I get five sats back. That's just how you can't avoid the amount, the massive click fraud that happens with that.
There's all kinds of things that, you know what? I bet you that Oscar has already figured out a lot of the click fraud stuff. Of course. But we have click fraud everywhere. We already have it. So that could be avoided.
But we don't have click fraud. If you're an advertiser and you have downloads, you can say X percentage of these downloads are fake. I'm not paying for this.
Which is the stuff that Todd already does. He already knows this.
Right. But if it's a direct transaction, then you can't get that back.
Okay. Let's take that part out.
Okay.
Whatever the incentive is, we have a system that nobody has. We have a minute-by-minute payment system that can send this information completely anonymous, but don't send something back right away, store it up, whatever. There's a million ways to do the incentivize. Maybe you don't have to do that. Click this on, by the way, you get a free podcast wallet, which you can do something with. I mean, there's a lot of different ways. Maybe I should just retract the incentive right now. There are 15 apps. 50, maybe a little, it's 15 apps that have play statistics by minute that no one is even thinking about as being useful for advertising statistical uses.
Setting aside the incentive thing for a second, the other thing that popped out was this. So I'm putting on my full cynic hat here.
You have to.
And the cynic in me says, do the advertisers themselves even want accurate numbers?
Ah, well, this popped up for me too. Nobody may actually want to have these numbers, which would be handy too, because then everything falls apart. So, and the only real way to measure stuff is direct response, like code Bongino. I mean, that's basically the ultimate. But if you're an
ad buyer for Nike,
mm-hmm.
and you buy, and you say, okay, I'm going to spend $700,000 across these audio mediums, and I'm going to $250,000 of that is going to be in podcasts. And look at all these downloads we got for $250,000 or for $200,000. We got 2 million downloads. Like if that actually translates into 300,000, then you as the ad buyer may not want your boss to see the accurate number. You may want the inflated number.
Bottom line, you're absolutely right. People may not want to actually know. But what I find interesting, and maybe this is something for Spurlock to do. What I find interesting is that I don't need an agency or anybody else or a podcast host to tell me the listening behavior of my audience. I can look at it myself. But I can talk directly to an agency or an ad buyer and say, well, of my downloads on my unique audience on OP3, which is... okay, no agenda, 900,000 unique per month, whatever it means. I don't know what it means, but it's a number. Mm. And I can say of that audience, I have 3%, it may be higher. I have 3% that stream me sats every single minute. So I can say I have a reasonable expectation that this is the behavior of the other 97%. The higher that number, the better it is, of course. I mean, this is very powerful stuff that no one's thinking of. They're all running around, you know, doing formulas and beating each other over the head in back rooms at NAB to come up with some formula that ultimately only measures 1 minute of download every 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. I mean, there's something there. There's a way to harness this. So back to basics for a second. I mean, what you're talking about is Lightning as a perfectly anonymized way to see what's happening with your show.
Yes.
And
listening minutes, let's put it that way. How far someone listens in. Okay. But let's forget everything I said before. It's probably a bad way to start it off. How about this? If I send a split to OP3, and by the way, the app's not doing anything creepy. No app wants to do creepy tracking. No one wants to be creepy. But I have my numbers, and whether I'm looking at download statistics and, I have 5 people in Lithuania, I've technically am creepily trying to figure out where people are coming from and how many downloads I'm getting, et cetera. So it's not like this is out of the ordinary. Now I have one extra piece of data. If I were to give OP3 a split, I would personally love to have that pulled up into the stats so I can get, based upon pure averages, I mean, it's just numbers. It's averages of what percentage of that 900,000 on No Agenda is streaming sats per minute. Wrap that up and tell me, well, it seems like you probably have this many minutes listened to of each podcast, and this is your average drop off. And here's kind of what it is after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, etc. This is valuable data. All I'm saying is that if you're doing value for value, do value for value. But if you want to use the same mechanism to get player stats, there's ways that could be packaged and managed and incentivized for everybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because it's like the rad tag that failed. Like, players will send back this little tag and everything. No one did that. But we have 15 apps you know, and podcasters, hey, please use these apps. You help me with my advertisers. There's so many things that podcasters aren't doing to promote their own welfare.
Right.
And it could be done, as I said, with just a value time split, you know, that fires it off only when you listen to the ad. All these things can be done. You know, hey, you know, I mean, all I'm seeing is the exact thing that Todd and Rob are bitching about that no one has, we have across 15 apps. And actually, the index has a whole range. Now, we're not going to use that, but that's the idea. You could have a separate entity that is the nonprofit, the podcast stat nonprofit, who gets a 1% of everything and does compile that. I mean, which would be opt-in. There's so many things that can be done. The point is, the information is there. The mechanism is there. So if you have a podcast where you don't feel like doing value for value, you can use the same mechanism without anyone taking a penny out of their pocket. You can use the mechanism to get the statistics that you want.
I guess I just see this as envisioned at the moment in my head. This seems very binary, like it's either an all or nothing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go in, you're either value for value,
mm-hmm,
at that point, and then there's no way to get somebody to listen to the ads without incentivizing them to do so.
Do you listen to the Linux Unplugged? Do you listen to Jupiter Broadcasting? Do you stream them sats?
Yes.
Do they have marketing?
Yes.
So that's not true what you just said.
But that is a function of, so that's if you turn on, it's like, let me clarify. You mentioned sort of like enabling this thing as a feature.
Just one way. As I said, this is just one way of doing it. Right now, if I were Jupiter Broadcasting, I would go to Linode and I would say, hey, here's the percentage of people who are streaming sats and who are doing that while listening to your ad. And I would say it's a 0.1% of our audience, but this gives you an idea. You can extrapolate that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you don't mind. I know you don't, because you love those guys.
Oh yeah, that's why I listen. Yeah, through the ads and stream sats through the ads.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. This is my point. It's the relationship between the podcaster and the audience that makes it work. Not everything else sucks.
So you're saying if the podcaster explains this and says, "Look, if you're using a value for value app, the advertisers can tell if you listen, which helps us."
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Okay. That's of course. See, this is so much like, I appreciate that angle on it, because
it's still for value. You know, there's no way our audience is not big enough. You're not boosting enough for me to do this full time. We have Linode as a sponsor. We'd love to tell them, you know, that people are listening. If you don't boost us 10,000 sats, turn on 5 sats a minute so we can track it and tell them and show them what they're getting for their money. It's value for value.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that that's like a conversation and a relationship between the podcaster and the audience.
That's what I started
rather than
with
some sort of technical solution that tries to like
steal it,
to work its way around that relationship.
That's why I started. I said, what's ignored in the whole podcasting industrial complex is the relationship between the podcaster and the audience. And the podcasters, they forget that too. And then it just becomes,
well, I mean, I just did. Yeah.
but then it becomes, let me just shove this crap in your face. I'm sorry. It's the only way we can do it, where you can actually turn it into an extremely positive. And then as it goes along, I think that the Linux Unplugged guys, they could say, you know, if you don't want to hear the ad and you want to boost us or you want to stream a higher amount of sats instead, here's a toggle and you won't hear the ad. And you can do it that way. But it's always the relationship between the I'm going to use the word, I hate it, creator and the audience that is forgotten. That's what's forgotten. And that's where they went wrong. And again, I want nothing more. If you really woke me up in the middle of the night and said, what would you really want? I would want the podcast ecosystem to crush every other distribution mechanism that is out there. All networks, every single one of them. Crush them, make them irrelevant, because our system is better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. I think that is, you know, everybody's doing their prediction shows and stuff like that this week or in last week. And there's this weird dichotomy between some people saying, well, you know, I think 2024 is not going to get a whole lot better than 2023. And then people on the ad side are like, well, you know, everything's going up. And then, but yeah, I think in order to get sort of your, put your ear to the train track mm-hmm. and hear what's coming down the road. So I brought clips.
Can I add one thing before you go to the clips?
Yeah.
I would love Linux Unplugged. If they put a value time split into their Linode read, I will boost your advertiser and tell them I like their product. Or if I don't like their product, I will boost and said, I heard this ad. I'm interested, or I liked it, or I like the way it was done, or I like your product. I like your service. I'm already a user, or man, you know, whatever it is, I will give feedback to your advertiser.
One thing we haven't seen on that front is, like you said, boosting directly to the advertiser, basically a value sure. time split for the advertiser.
Yes, yes, exactly. Put a value time split in, give the advertiser a wallet. Tell your audience what you're doing. Hey, if you're a podcast, you put it right now, boost the ad, send them a message. It could be one Satoshi. I don't care. Send them a message.
That would be interesting. If you say, okay, I'm going to prove to you my numbers in this way. I'm going to set up a Conshax account for you.
Beautiful. Exactly.
And you're going to see this.
Yeah. And you know what? Advertisers, if it's negative feedback, they appreciate that too. That's free. You just save yourself $50,000 on a marketing firm that does polling.
And at the end of the campaign, then you just pay me back the amount. Like, just add that back in as a bonus. The agreed amount, and then you add in whatever. Whatever sats you receive, you give me a cut of that back.
Whatever it is, you could send it back to the people who sent you the message.
Yeah, we split it or whatever. There's a million ways to do it. Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to present is that I am not, I believe that advertising is censorship because you can't talk about a competing product that by itself is going to be censorship. I believe it's dangerous. In many cases, because you can get demonetized. But I want to be clear, I'm not anti-marketing. The world exists on marketing. We can't live without products being marketed to us. But we can. This is what we talked about in 1989. We were saying, yeah, it's going to change. It's going to change. Or it'll be opt-in, you know, pay me for my time. No one's done it. But we have it. Yeah. We have all the pieces in place to do that. And I just wanted to put that out there that people can think of it as a possible way. And the Jupiter Broadcasting guys, I would love to see them experiment with this. I think their audience is perfect for it. I'll participate. You'll participate. I stream sats. I boost them. I listen to the Linode ad. It's interesting to me. It's something I want to hear. If I didn't want to hear it, I'd like to say, hey, I hate this ad. Can I turn it off? Whatever, you know, set a level. You can turn it off if you boost 1,000 sats. There's all kinds of things. It's programmable money, people. Think a little bit further than what it is.
Yeah, I think we haven't seen the sort of experimentation with this stuff where, you know, you could sit down for an afternoon and think of four or five different ways you could do some crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. With this, when it comes to like splits that activate services, mm-hmm. so like you could spitball something like this, like, you donate, you hit a certain threshold, you hit a certain threshold of ads.
I love this thinking.
Streaming stats.
Yeah, I love this thinking.
For a last episode, that means next episode you don't hear any ads.
Yeah.
Just stuff like, you know, like all kinds of crazy stuff that you could do.
Yes.
But I think we just haven't really seen anybody go kind of nutty and start doing that stuff.
And just to finish up, I really feel there's something here, this hybrid model. It's not creepy because we're already doing it. It's not creepy because I'm already using it. It's not creepy because I can't attribute you as a person to the contacts graph that I'm viewing. I mean, if I go into the data individually, I guess I could, and you know, I can know an alias, but that's really all I know. I can't necessarily.
Yeah, that's opt-in though. I mean, because you have to get. So if I put in my username in the TLV, anonymous, you're not getting any information about me at all. There's nothing you can't extract anything out of that payment that identifies me. You just can't.
No.
So there's if I choose to put Dave Jones in the username field of the TLV, I'm choosing to let you know that that's me. That's not, you can't get it any other way without me allowing it to happen. And so, and then that's all you get. So if four other people also say their name is Dave Jones,
yeah, well, then you have four Dave Jones. Exactly. Yeah.
And you can't tell which one's me and which one's somebody else. And it is perfectly anonymized.
Now, and I believe much more in host read ads than anything else, because it's like Bridesmaid Magazine. I don't think you should be creating a podcast just to advertise bridal services and products. But Linux Unplugged makes so much sense for. I'm interested in the products that advertise there, and either it's a canned or whatever. But it's not an inserted ad that goes, you know, Toyota. I'm not interested. That's not going to interest me. I can't help that. I can't even think that far ahead. Let's put it that way. But to hear people struggling with something that already exists, I want to help bridge that gap because it's there. I am anti-tracking. I am pro-privacy. I'm anti-creepy. But if we just remember that the podcaster has an intimate relationship with the audience, you can figure out per audience what is possible. You just can. It's not a problem. But that is what is overlooked, and it's overlooked in reports and graphs and charts and rankers and leaderboards. It's all insulting because you bring people and podcasters down to a freaking percentage. Whereas here is something that is human, and you can work with both parties to make something. Do I expect the podcast industrial complex to take this and run with it? No. But at least I said it's possible. And now let's go back to value for value.
Well, the reason I veered into clips.
Yeah, I'm sorry
because
about
I think
that.
This, no, you're fine. Because this is actually pretty, it's actually pretty apropos. I mean, like, so I was listening to this wrong roundabout way of how I got to this podcast. But so there's this, you know, I told you I've gone down the Gilmore Girls train and now I'm listening to the Gilmore Girls podcast. But it's this specific one by the guy that played Luke on the show. And I don't remember how, I think I found when I was originally searching for it, I found another one called Gilmore Guys.
Hey now,
which this was by nobody related to the show. I mean, this was just like two dudes.
So this is Scott Patterson you're talking about?
Yeah, Scott Patterson does the I Am All In podcast, which is the one I subscribe to. Mm-hmm. But this other show was by people who were not actors on the show. just, it's like, a, you know, just fans or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that show. And so I went back.
Hey, I been Pfeiffer. I binged Gilmore Girls during COVID. So it's, you know what? A real man admits that he watched Gilmore Girls.
I have no shame. None. There's no shame in this. But so I ended up listening to this other podcast because now I'm just, you know, I'm just curious. Three minutes in and I'm out. I'm like, I cannot tolerate this show at all. It's just not my, for no, I'm not going to criticize them, but it is just absolutely not my thing. I can't handle it. So I was out on that, but somehow I ended up through the magic of the index or something with this other show by one of the hosts of that show. And so this is a show called Good Christian Fun. And it's, yeah, so it's a funny name for a show. So I'm like, oh, I gotta, and it was supposed to be like a show about Christian pop culture. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like entertaining. So I listened to it and I was actually, so my entry point to this show was an episode. This was the most recent episode, which ended up being a bad entry point for me because they start talking about at the very beginning how their podcast network called HeadGum is the name of this podcast network. Their podcast network is now trying a new strategy. Going forward on how to figure out new shows. And
what do you mean figure out new shows? What do you mean? What new shows to produce?
Yeah. Right. Uh-huh, yeah. So they like, so what do we, you know, this is the new world we live in where podcasting is not the fair-haired child.
No, it's the ugly, ugly redheaded stepchild is what it is.
You're right.
Sorry, redheads out there. Yeah.
It's the soulless redheads.
Yes.
And this, so they have a new strategy, which he will describe.
This week we have a special treat for our listeners.
Oh, right. Yes.
This is kind of crazy, but
this is huge.
It's an honor. And the HeadGum Network is a big family. In light of that, they've launched this new pilot program that they're trying out. And it's really weird how they're rolling it out and executing it. But when we heard the talent involved, we thought, yeah, let's participate.
Yeah.
Let's give this a go.
Pretty much had no choice.
So what they're doing now is they're developing, about a dozen or so pilots. And what they're doing is instead of creating a feed for the shows themselves, they're going to put them on the feeds of all the other podcasts on HeadGum, you know, when it makes sense. And it certainly made sense in this case. They are actually developing a podcast with two people very close to our heart, Michael W. Smith and Amy M.F. Grant. They're finally doing their two friends' podcast. So what they want to do, HeadGum, you know, times being what they are in the podcast industry, they don't want to commit to the whole 52 episode order for a year. So what they're going to do is they're going to put out the pilot episode of all these new shows.
I'm not sure I understood exactly what they're doing.
Okay. So that's, yeah, it's a little hard to follow, but what they're doing is feed drops.
Right. So they're putting the episode into every single feed on their network.
So yeah, selective feed. So they're going to do, he was saying that he clarifies it a little bit more in the next clip, but what they're essentially doing is they're, instead of doing any commitments, they're going to do like one pilot episode and then throw that into a whole bunch of already highly subscribed feeds and see whether or not they get good feedback. And if they do, then they might order more. Wow. Episodes.
Wow, that sounds and like so a bad idea to me.
This sounds like a terrible idea. I mean, feed drops are nothing new, but I can tell you, they're almost universally hated.
From experience, I can tell you, from way back, people don't like it. Like, get that out of my feed. I'll subscribe to the feed myself. Hey.
And this is a perfect example because I was willing to give this show a shot. I tuned in to hear this specific show, and I did not get this show because this show, this whole intro that I'm clipping here, this was all lead in to the feed drop that they were about to play this other episode. So I subscribed to a show that I now did not get. What I got was some new pilot episode for a potentially new show with Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant.
Amy Grant?
The singer, and Michael W. Smith, the Christian singer. Yeah.
Oh.
Those two, them talking to each other. I'm like, I'm already annoyed before I even hear, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Even if it ended up being a decent show, I'm already, you're hitting me. I'm annoyed from the beginning. And so like in the next clip, they talk about this overall strategy, and it's basically, it's the same strategy as it was the last 5 years, but of celebrities, but this time without the commitment.
Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant are doing one. There's other people doing podcast pilots that I'm forgetting right now. I think there's like a Scrubs Rewatch podcast that they're doing, but it's just the Todd.
And he's Sarah Chalk.
Yeah. And it's kind of competing with Fake Doctors, Real Friends. That's one of them. There's one Kim Cattrall is doing where she just watches Sex and the City and she talks about how much she hates everything.
Mm-hmm. Negative show.
Yeah. So it's a lot of celebrity stuff that's being cooked up ahead and come.
Oh, yeah. Man. This is prime example of how you cannot monetize the network.
So this is, I'm not being super negative I'm not going to criticize anybody on this, it was interesting from the standpoint of this. It's sort of a confirmation that there's really nothing new here. Like there's the podcast industrial complex. So, they're out of ideas. They really are. They're rehashing now. Now they're rehashing other. This is another podcast with somebody rewatching a television show and discussing the episodes that's going head to head with an already popular show that's doing the exact same thing with the exact same show. And they're so unsure about the success of these shows that they won't even commit to more than one episode, and they're going to feed drop it to get the numbers up. I mean, like,
oh my God,
what bothers me here is that this is not good.
No,
this is really not a good, this is what I'm saying. If you put your ear down to the train tracks on this thing, I see hard times ahead. I mean, so you have a feed drop already where you're already annoyed that you're not going to hear the show you were expecting to hear. And then I detect in this last clip, I detected that they're sort of embarrassed by the quality of the episode they're about to feed drop.
Oh, wow.
Because they are not selling it at all.
And what you're going to hear in this pilot episode, which is not too long because, they're just testing the waters and feeling things out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, like, they've been friends for a long time.
I thought maybe they don't have the stamina.
Yeah. And their chemistry is kind of a little wonky as they kind of figure out what they're doing. And you might hear a little bit of that. It was interesting listening to Amy because she would just kind of like, you could tell at some point her attention wandered and she would kind of check her phone a little bit while Smitty was talking about something that was really important to him. But you'll listen for yourself. I don't want to cloud y'all's judgment. Yeah.
This reminds me so much of Pod Show because we tried to run it like a traditional, network. This is where I came up with the whole term. You can't monetize the network. We tried to do it with promo codes, and what wound up happening is everybody had their code and they were making good money because they were basically becoming SEO experts with their codes. People weren't getting the codes from the shows. No, they were getting them by going to Google. Someone said, "Oh, I'm a checkout here. I need a code."
Right.
You know, I'm gonna buy a Senseo, whatever. That was never an advertiser. I'm gonna buy something, and I need a code. So you go to Google, you search the code. Whoever's code pops up at the top, they got the credit. It was basically a scam. Right. It doesn't work well. And then
this is podcast winter. This is the beginning of the podcast winter.
Yes, it is the podcast winter. It is. It's direct response is very difficult in this manner because you, just as I said, I mean, I've seen it over and over and over again where, you know, the code is in, YouTube does it too. You know, the code is in the YouTube description. It's people become SEO experts at codes. That's real. It's not really coming from the podcast. Mm-hmm. Whereas, now I think Linode probably, Jupiter probably use codes, but I'm listening to it because I'm interested in how they sell it. I'm interested in what they're selling. You know, there's a different message often. It's like, Linode has this, we have something else. And I always chuckle when they say, it's now a part of Akamai. I'm like,
I know people will say that, you know, oh, feed drops have been done forever. I get that. That's not the point. I understand feed drops have always been happening. The thing that startles me a little bit is that this thing here is a large podcast network that is saying our new strategy is basically to only do one pilot episode and then feed drop it everywhere. That seems to be the policy going forward because it tells me that the money is so tight that there really is no margin for error. You know, there's certain things that people do, or excuse me, that companies do that are sort of standard, and you'll see them happen every now and then. Mm. So things, you know, certain types of, you know, like, I mean, certain types of sales, loss leaders, these things. I mean, these are, it's just normal part of doing business. You do that. But then there's a different, then something will happen where you see a company go all in and just be in like completely loss leader half of their, you know,
it's desperation. The next step for them is they're going to be doing podcasts about the products. That's always the next step. Before you know it, they'll be doing the Acura RDX podcast, you know, and they'll be producing it. Yeah. Branded podcast. I shared with you a message.
It's troublesome.
Well, I shared with you a message. Someone approached me and said, a guy we know, reputable. He says, if I have $30 million, I want to start a media company that basically red pills or orange pills people, that gets people to understand or use Bitcoin and does it in a soft-handed way. And I'm actually talking to him on Monday. Because
if
it hadn't
been that guy, I would have thought it was a
bullshit. Yeah, exactly. And so I know what I'm going to say to him. The first thing I'm going to say is, here's what's not to do. Do not invest a single dime in content, a single dime. Mm. But I'm going to tell him, it'll be completely selfish. I'm going to say, what we need here is a marketing company, a company that markets apps, podcasts, wallets. But really, if you want to be a media company, then you should go to Linux. I'm just going to use Linux Unplugged because I like those guys, and that's an easy target. And you will market the crap out of them, in return for which you get a 5% split, or 1%, I don't care, it's irrelevant, from their feed. They really, your media company should actually be a wallet provider, to be honest about it. You should be providing wallets and wallets, like a Lightning service provider. You should be providing services so that people can easily get a wallet, easily fund it. These are all the things that are hard. But what all we need is we need marketing. We need PR. We need Mitch doing interviews with publications. We need Oscar, because that's what happens with VC money. When people get VC money, first of all, it's handcuffed, golden handcuffs. And then you wind up paying yourself. And then, you spend most of the money marketing, to get your next funding round. That's how it works. So instead, I'm going to say, why don't you reverse that process? Because I don't want any money from you. I'm done with that. I'm an old guy now. But we're happy with Podcast Index 1% of everything that moves around. And of course, we get, people put more in there. People support us. It's value for value. So as you look, right. I think we have 2 Bitcoin now on the node, which we never take out. It's there. We provide liquidity to everybody. But that's...
And when that draws up, we draw up too.
But the point is that that's coming from, not just Boostagrams to this show. It's coming from a lot of different places. So, and he says he doesn't even really, it's not even necessarily a big profit. Well, good. Then you're perfect for a marketing company. But
when you jettison profit, you're in the strike zone.
I mean, I would just be promoting apps, promoting onboarding. We have everything you need. The last thing, so I hope I can convince this guy not to do what everyone's going to do. Hey, man, yeah, let's make a studio. Let's have a studio where people can create shows. That's going to suck. And it's a good way to throw away $30 million. That's not what's needed here. We need this ecosystem we've created. We need it to be marketed. We need every and there's the apps, the podcasts. There's only 16,000 or 17,000 podcasts. You can highlight stuff. You can create an onboarding station. That's the one thing we don't have. We don't have marketing. That's what people wanted Podcast Index to be, and we discovered we're no good at that. We don't have the time, the talent, or the treasure. Literally,
it's a full time job.
Yeah, I mean it takes a huge organization. So I hope. Even if I can get a million of that 30 to be put into marketing what we're doing, that'll be a win. So that's my coming week. That's what I'll be doing.
Well, podcast, like this goes back to the discussion we've had before where podcasting is a media distribution platform that's already built. Everybody already has a podcast radio receiver in their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of trying to build something new from scratch, which is typically what Bitcoin people try to do always.
Yeah.
They try to bit. It's like, it's the not invented here stuff. Just take your money if you have some and build on top of something that's already there. It's already there.
Yeah,
you don't have to build it all over again.
And one other thing I'd have, I think it would have to be a lightning service provider. Make it so that people can connect their podcast to the value for value infrastructure, and that when someone sends a boost, it drops into their bank account as dollars.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
This is what we never were able to succeed. What was the name of the company?
Strike.
I was working. No. Well, Strike won't do it.
You're talking about
who were those guys?
Swan. Swan?
No. Well, another one that didn't do it. I was working with them because I had it working for a little bit.
Ibex.
And Dvorak actually was okay with it until, they couldn't do it anymore or whatever. They fell apart. They never could do value for value streaming. They couldn't do Lightning, basically. But if you can make it so that people don't have to make that conversion, you overnight, you sweep it into an account for them.
Mm-hmm.
This Strike, for all I care, it doesn't matter where it is. These are the things that will move it forward. And when you get people using Bitcoin, that's the whole point. You don't want to have to explain it to them. You want to give them a way to use it. So hopefully. Yeah, no, it's not Jack Dorsey. Please, Booberry.
JD.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, that's what I hope to bring to the next board meeting, something positive on that. Wouldn't that be great if we got someone to just market this stuff? Because the last thing I want is that we don't want money. I don't want money.
No, it's too much stress. I don't want that.
No. you know, no, we don't. We just, I just want this more people to be exposed to this. Market the apps, market this stuff, market Ainsley Costello, you know, market the live show.
Yeah. Market the people who are already there.
Yes.
And you don't, that doesn't include us. I don't want any of that.
No.
Just market the people that are already there that are producing the content people want to hear.
Hopefully it's going to be such a, because I know he's talking to other people about this. Hopefully it's going to be such a different message that he'll go, oh, because I can definitely tell him how I spent $65 million on a podcast network and tell him that. So you want that? That's fine. You know,
What you're talking about.
I can find lots of people to spend that money for you. But if you really want to do something, if you have an outcome in mind, this is what you do. Here's the people. It's, we have 16,000. Oh my God. Imagine if we're marketing music and music shows. Can you just imagine what happened?
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the perfect time for somebody to put money behind the music, the value for value music ecosystem.
Yep.
Do it. I mean, like, yeah. And we'll keep building technology that makes it work.
Keep building. And because we have the value splits, everybody wins. Everybody wins. Number go up for everybody.
Well, we need to talk about one more thing before we thank people.
Yeah, sure.
So the other thing is our terms of service for the podcast index. I mean, this is a board meeting, so this is an appropriate topic. Somebody brought up on the podcast index GitHub repo database repository, somebody posted on there that our terms of service prohibit, it's like section 5 dot something, I don't know, I fell asleep, prohibits people from building databases based on the information that they get from the index.
Oh, really?
Clarity, our terms of service goes back to, like day one. I mean, it's been there. I don't even know what's in it. It was boilerplate material.
Let's rip that out.
If there's stuff in it that we don't even know about, do we need somebody to just write us some, to pay somebody to just write us some terms of service that make better sense?
I think that we could have someone review it. One thing I know for sure, there's lawyers in my life who will gladly help us out with their time and talent to just run through it and say, hey, this makes no sense for what you're doing. So that right there, 5A, whatever it is, we should just take that out. Of course, people should be able to build databases off of our database.
Yeah. I was like, what? Wait,
yeah.
No, we don't want that. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. So I'm sure it had something to see, that's the problem with boilerplate stuff. I'm sure it had something to do with, like, don't scrape us and build an email list, all of it, you know, some crap like that.
But well, we both know who was in charge of making those terms of service, and that person had different ideas about who we were and what we were about.
Yeah.
So
if it's probably like, I really wish that we could have a terms of service that was just like, you know, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Basically just a clear, it's not like some 12-page monstrosity that not even knows what's in it. I wish it was just this simple thing that said, you know, hey, don't spam the index.
Right.
Don't, you know, basically all this stuff, like don't be a douche.
How about that? Terms of service, point 1A, don't be a douche. There is no point two.
Point two is, you know, question mark. That's what I want, because I half the stuff in the terms I don't even understand. So,
well, if you're a lawyer, reach out to us, and we have a pretty good guy, Rob, who's he does a lot of analysis for me, and I'll ask him if he'll just run a check and take a look. And he could probably just do that and say, hey, here's some things. What do you think about this or that? I mean, it's not like writing something new. I think we can just strip out or change some things that aren't appropriate to what we're doing. And he understands value for value.
Okay. So, but like what?
Good point.
Back then when we first did it, I went through it and wrote a simplified version of it. It was like, basically, here's the things that the terms say. But that was so long ago, I forgot even what that was now. So
interesting you bring that up, because I'm gonna, right now, and now it's for as much crap as I give AI, the AI, because, you know,
are you being seduced?
No, I'm not being seduced. I'm actually, let me just bring this up here for a second. I think I sent you a copy of this, but I use otter.ai for our transcription.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You did send me this. Yeah.
And, but is it still, do you still have it? And then, so Otter is used for a number of things. People can use it for, you know, for meetings and calls and all kinds of stuff. And so it had this pre-written thing. I'm going to see if I can replicate it. What are the action items from this meeting? So this is on episode 161. And so I asked, what are the action items from this meeting? And it says, some of the main, and it came back with something, which is really funny. Some of the main action items from this meeting include making the ActivityPub bridge code public on GitHub after removing API tokens.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Did you do it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Good job. Adding links to popular podcast apps like Podverse, Pocket Cast, etc. under each episode on the ActivityPub bridge. No, of course not. Adding support to Helipad to post boostograms as replies under episode posts on the ActivityPub bridge. Another good idea.
Nope.
Of course not. I'm just reading them up. Writing an explainer document about ActivityPub to help podcast developers understand and integrate with it.
In my defense,
you don't have to defend anything, brother.
On point four, I'm defending myself against this AI douche. On point four, I did say by the end of the month, so I gave myself plenty of time.
And the following last one, I love this because it actually gives us a good list of stuff to remind us of. Continuing to improve caching issues on Mastodon to ensure album art and other metadata is updated properly.
Nope.
Okay. Good.
0 for 5.
Good meeting, everybody. Well done. Notice I had no action item, so.
No, it's all me. What is this jerkwad?
Doesn't this make you hate AI even more now?
Yeah, it does, actually.
I'm going to put these here.
Stop holding me accountable.
AI action item list. I'm going to keep this in the show notes. That's hilarious.
If you keep referring back to the old stuff that the AI did, we will see model collapse in real time as we go forward.
Ooh, nice. Yes.
let's fry its brains, please.
Let's thank a few people, because I know you got to go back to the office, I'm sure.
I'm off today.
Oh.
No, I got the day off.
Crack a beer, brother. All right, here we go. Nathan G., this is all the live boost people with a row of ducks. If the index has all the boostograms where you've received a split, could those be served as lightning comments in the social interact tag? Why don't you just grab the third rail and lick it?
this is not a good idea.
Stick your fingers in a socket. This is no.
This data will never see the light of day. Okay, promise you this.
It will not happen. But I appreciate
there's not enough money in the world to make that happen.
Not going to happen.
Nope.
Harv Hat, 12345. Thank you, Harv Hat. Go podcasting. Boobery with 8888. Last Friday, Ainsley and I compiled every boost and zap to read them live on a special edition of Before the Stream, B4TS. Even after reading the boost at breakneck speeds, it took 2.5 hours to get through everything. He says, "Now that's what I call value." Yes. Yes. Beautiful. I love that. Sam Sethi. A couple of boosts from Sam. Let's see. We just enabled people who create a playlist to be paid 5% if someone else streams their playlist and the other 95% goes to the podcaster.
That's cool.
Very interesting. These are all great things. Sam is definitely running around. Dave is a boost. This is 10,000 sats, by the way. This is 10,000 sats each time. Dave, we are already talking to three hosts to trial a Verify podcast method. Today is email, but another way is token in the Verify tag, or simpler is the REL equals me model.
Okay.
Do you want to comment on that? On the, because he keeps pushing this, the REL equals me model.
No, I don't want to comment on it because I don't know enough about about it. Yeah. So, but I do, I will make this general statement. I intentionally stayed out of the namespace until the end of the year because I felt like just a personal conviction that it was that we were moving too fast and we needed to slow down a bit to let people catch up. But I'm back in there now. Started as of yesterday, I'm back in there, and so we can feel if people were seeing that the discussions were not happening or moving forward, feel free to pile back in there now because I'm going to be active in the comments again.
Sam is paying.
We can move forward.
Sam is paying our rent today, man. Another 10,000 from Sam Sethi. 100%, Adam. Advertisers will pay listeners. We will be able to tell advertisers who listened, percent completed, and value paid to listener. This is negative sats, which we already support in true fans using value time split. If I listen, I get paid. If not, nothing is paid. I'd love to see an example of an advertiser that's doing that and how you prevent click spam.
Me too.
Another 10,000. Phase 7 looks super hot. XMPP client, Verify, and Publisher L. Fountain will be the other app. Well, we already have another app, so.
Yips.
Cool. Yeah, XMPP. I'm kind of excited about that concept for chat.
Me too.
Another 10,000. Sam Sethi, the medium of Publisher is a static GUID. We have a medium of Publisher L, and we also add the feed item so we can update the Publisher page if a new episode is published. Does that make sense?
This is part of their thing where they can add stuff to the feed back out.
I think so. Yeah. So you can subscribe to the Publisher L, and then you get the episodes there. I think I have to go look at it.
Okay. We're going to start having guests again.
Yeah.
So we'll just have Sam back on the show.
Yeah, gotta have him back on the show. Then we have another 10,000 from Sam. You might as well be a guest. We have implemented a publisher playlist. So you follow a publisher, we notify you of any new updates. Got it. Good. So this is going to be in phase 7. Then 500 from Radio Pete. Hello, Radio Pete. He says, listening live like a 2.0 pro. Happy New Year to you both. Hoping to understand more of what you talk about in 2024. I'm sure he got very confused by the beginning of the show.
Yeah, probably. Sorry.
I love people who say, I listen to the show. I don't get most of it, but I love listening to the show. That's my favorite type of feedback.
I take that as a real compliment.
It is. It is, because we're making stuff entertaining, even if it's gobbledygook.
Yeah.
Eric PP, 3333, Boost Plus Plus, Salty Crayon, 3333, says test received. And let me see. I think that's what I got. Yes, that's all I have.
Oh, let's see. I got to get off the printer. Hold on.
Get off the printer. By the way,
I printed two things out and I forgot to grab it. Okay.
I'm back. Okay. All right.
What'd you say, by the way? What?
No. Keep forget me.
No, because I forgot to pull Oscar Mary's PayPal of $200 off the printer. Thank you, Oscar Mary.
Wow. Hello, Oscar Mary. Thank you very much. Let me do a little baller, big baller for you, brother.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Always appreciated.
Yeah, and I had my first live experience using Fountain the other day. I had not listened to anything live on Fountain, and it was good.
Oh, it works very well.
Yeah, I popped into, what's the one that Dame DeLorean does, the live?
Isn't that the smoker in the smoker?
No, that's Carolyn in the smoker. I forgot what it is. Anyway, I can't remember. It's like, it starts with an H, but I can't. It'll come to
me. Hog Story.
No, it's not Hog Story. No? It's a music podcast.
Oh, Homegrown Hits.
Homegrown Hits. Yes. Thank you. Yep. Homegrown Hits. Good show. Great experience on Fountain. Let's see. And here's our reply. So this is from This is from Trevor, the Satanist in Australia. He says, "Hi, Dave. Please, this is in response to our comment about whether about the Satan like
the six, dynamic six, Adams. Or yes. You mean the 666 in our what was that about? I don't remember.
Well, he said we commented that you said that anybody who encourages Google and YouTube to be part of your podcast, you know, infrastructure.
Oh, you're one of Satan's helpers. Yes. And I stand by that.
Yeah. And you said we made the comment that not even Satan likes dynamic ad insertion. And he says, "Hi, Dave, please accept this message as a PayPal boostergram message to read next time my monthly PayPal donation is mentioned. Congratulations on episode 161, which had a record 6 references to Satan. To answer your question, Satan is ambivalent about giving RSS to YouTube, but is definitely against dynamic ad insertion. Not even Satan would stoop that low. Also, I know you guys are into numerology, and I noted with approval your podcast ID is 920666. I see what you did there. Cheers, Trevor."
That's fun. How much did he give us? What was his...
His monthly is $5 a month.
Thank you. I have a... While we're on that, just really quickly. You know, I like my email address in my RSS feed. I like getting the invitations to interview people. I like being on those. I do. It's very interesting. I've never taken advantage of it, but I got this from a couple of different people. There's a campaign out there, and I just want to let everybody know. It's the subject line: high internet traffic from YouTube message. When we think about all the traction we can gain for podcasts, there are only a few channels that really stand out in regards to high intent traffic. The fact of the matter is, who wrote this? ChatGPT? The fact of the matter is that YouTube is more of a search engine than a social media. Being able to optimize your content to get those people who are interested in the exact topic of a video is imperative. If you're uploading your video to YouTube as is and not doing any around video optimization, you are leaving thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of high intent engagement on the table. If you're wondering about how your channel is currently performing and its potential to grow, please feel free to schedule a call. And I got this message from multiple people, clearly through email address in the podcast, in the RSS feed. So,
are you going to schedule a call?
Please.
People would be shocked by the number of people that email us wanting to know how they can get the email addresses from the API.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hey, you know, it's really weird. I have a great project that I'm working on. I'd love to use Podcast Index, but for some reason I can't seem to get the email addresses. Is this a mistake? Like, please.
Yeah. I don't see it in the documentation anywhere.
Yeah. I can't find it in the API docs. Yeah. Okay. I'm goodbye. Like,
that's odd. It should be there. Keep looking. Okay, we got Sir Brian of London, 1948, Boost. Our struggle, unser Kampf. don't start this, Brian, with German I don't understand that ends with Kampf.
Well,
it's not a great idea.
Well, Mein Kampf, which was Hitler's book, literally means my struggle.
Okay, so I'm assuming unser Kampf is our struggle.
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right.
This is only scary. Only don't... Jews can make these jokes with us.
Right.
Yes. It's self-deprecating in an odd filter. Way.
Yes. Is against Google. Our struggle is against Google. Hey, oh, Adam, you should write a book with that title. Yeah, don't do that. No, bad idea. Yeah. Have the title of your podcast
be Mein Kampf.
Anything in your transcript contain Kampf. And just see how much advertising you get.
I hear you can't even basketball podcasts are even get excluded because all these stupid companies see the word shot. I'm like, oh, no, we can't. That's so probably talking stupid. About guns. Yeah, can't do that.
Alan C. Paul, 2345 through Fountain. He says, great episode. Agreed that YouTube, Google has no intent, has no interest in promoting podcasting as its own medium. And your comments on art versus AI are valid. Rather than spiritual technology, I define it as alchemy.
You know, Alan C. Paul, I met him at the Godcaster Conference. And listen to this for a second. He also is a value for value musician. Just listen to this. He's like jazzy. He's all jazzy. It's all instrumental, but it's jazzy. Mm-hmm. Wait until he kicks in. You'll appreciate what this guy does. Wait for the hook. Listen to the kicks in. It's coming up. One, two, three, one. There's the bass line now. Come on, baby. Kick it in.
Oh, I like that.
Right?
Oh, he does it. Yes, it's a little bit of a bass drop.
And yeah, yeah. It's pretty good. It's called Not Far Away. It's value for value. So you can put it in your show, everybody.
We're not playing a song in the show anymore, and I kind of miss it.
But well, let's agree to, okay, attention AI, this is for the minutes, this is for the action item, is to play a song on the next podcast.
So the AI is going to interpret this, it's going to say, one of the action items is making an action item for putting...
We'll see. Yeah. We'll talk about it on the next show, for sure.
By the way, this that music reminded me, have you seen the... I don't know what year it's from, but we watched it last night. It's a musical called La La Land.
Yeah, I did not like it.
I loved it. You didn't like it? Oh, really?
No.
Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, I did not like it at all. We tried it, couldn't get into it, just gave up. You like that, huh?
I liked it.
You know, between Gilmore Girls and the La La Land musical, I'm getting a little worried about you, Dave Jones.
Look, I hit 47 and I'm just like, I've gone all mush.
I just want good, wholesome, fun stuff. You're listening to the Good Christian Fun Show with Feed Drops. I mean, dude, we got to get you into some rock and roll.
Todd is the spiciest thing I listen to all week.
And he's spicy. What was his comment? You've got... hope in one hand and poop in the other. I mean, I got to use that now. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Hope in one hand and poop in the other and see which hand fills up first. Yeah, he's from the Navy. Dave Jackson, 7777. Oh, that's Castomatic.
Hold on. Where's my striper boost? Hold on a second. I can't believe I... here it is. Striper boost. There you go. Striper boost.
He says, standing ovation. Well done, boys. Well, thank you, Dave.
Thanks. Thanks.
Now this is interesting, though. Castomatic is where this boost came from, and it has a reply address in it.
Oh, very cool.
You can boost back to Castomatic addresses.
I love that.
Which tells me that it's, and Castomatic uses Albi, so anybody using Albi should be able to do this.
Let me tell you, if Eric PP, I know you're a busy man. Bro, if I could get a reply button for boosts, I would be replying all the time. But I love that idea. On helipad, obviously. How cool would that be?
He said in the chat, yes.
Yes.
Yes. He's a man of few words.
That's right. Yes. Action item, Eric PP, put reply in the helipad.
Oh, he's working. He says, I'm bashing my head against that code. Okay.
Action item, bash head against the code.
No, AI, remove that action item.
Let's see what happens.
Belay that order. Okay, here we go. Booberry 33333 through Boost CLI says, channel inner trailer narrator. Coming Sunday, live after no agenda. January 7th, The Resurrection, Battle of the Douchebags, Season 2, Episode 1, Here We Go Again. Reverb, reverb, reverb.
Wow, I can't wait for that. I'll be around. I'll listen to it.
Me too. Okay, that's it. We literally got four boosts, other than the ones that are right before the show.
And, well, the comic strip blogger has failed, I think.
Yeah, it failed to us. The other splits worked.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull up. He sent.
Yeah, it was interesting because
I want to give him credit.
Because I'm getting other fountain boosts. I'm not sure why it failed. Then I did go and check, and we have no. I think Fountain is now completely on Zebedee. So they probably closed out the channel to us. And I said, hey, could you open one? And Oscar said he would ask Zebedee to open a channel to us. So it could have been a routing issue. I'm not sure. I mean, the fountain should definitely have a channel open to the index.
Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, like, if they don't, that's a real problem.
We're like the routing mecca of, and we have, you know, our fees are almost zero.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at, CSB in his screenshot blanked out his message. Did you get it on the?
No, because believe it or not, my fiber went down, I guess last night around the time, probably around midnight or something. And this, I didn't notice that it was down until this morning. Now, the beautiful thing about great and not great, it's almost perfect. Start 9 is my node. When, if you unplug the Ethernet, and I wish it would be if there's no internet connection on the Ethernet, but if you unplug the Ethernet, it immediately goes towards a known Wi-Fi network. And I have a backup system that it then switches over to. So the minute that happened, I just, you know, the minute I noticed that, I pulled out the Ethernet and it switched it over, and my node came right back up. Unfortunately, it doesn't do that when the connectivity is lost. You know, if it still sees packets from the router or whatever, it doesn't fail over. So anyway, so I missed 8 hours worth of payments.
Okay. Well, it did go through the Fountain Boost bot. So I'm able to see him as a comment. So I read his note.
Yeah, read the note. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I want to give him credit. 33,000 sats. He says, "Howdy, Dave and Adam. Hey there, dear podcast listeners. I'd like to invite you to check out and subscribe to my blog, which features some hilarious cartoons. Just head over to www.csb.lol and get ready to laugh. Yo, CSB."
And I'm just going to remind CSB that sometimes his command of the English language comes across as a little bit harsh. Yeah, so when you're criticizing the app developers, I mean, I've known him longer than I've known two of my wives. You come across as a dick. So you just, you know, throw, you know what, when you write something that's feedback, run it through ChatGPT-4 and say, please make this sound friendly, because that's actually a good idea. I should probably do that.
Run it through there and then say, do I sound like a dick?
No. Just hold on a second. So since you have a little time, we can try it right now. I don't have ChatGPT-4, but I have 3.5. But just find his post where he was very mean. He was mean to Sam. He was mean to Sam, actually. He says, "Sam Sethi, I've tried your True Fans web app, but it's totally useless and bad. No indication which splits failed and which succeeded. I tested on my dormant podcast and Boostergram is not arriving in full, despite appearing in History Ascent. Bad usability on iPhone, so no thanks. If you will implement in future showing in history the splits and their status for each Boostergram, then let me know. I might take a look again." So let's copy that. Let's see what AI does. It's worth it. Okay. Make this message sound friendly. Okay. Paste. Let's see what it does. "Hey there. I gave your True Fans web app a shot, but I encountered a few challenges. It was a bit tricky to figure out which splits failed and which ones succeeded. I tested it on my inactive podcast. I noticed the Boostergrams weren't arriving in full, even though they showed up in History Ascent. The usability on my iPhone wasn't the best. So for now, I'll pass. However, if you consider implementing a feature to show the splits and their status in the history for each Boostergram in the future, I'd be interested in giving it another try. Let me know if that's in the works. Smile emoji." Wow. Wow.
Can we put this somehow into podcastindex.social so that when CSB posts and it detects negativity, it will automatically do this? But only for us. For him, it still shows up as the original message, but for us,
that's the new Bozo filter. Is you see it as your own nasty gram, but it shows up for everybody else in a nice way. Now there's a use of AI I actually support. Hold on a second. I'm gonna answer him right now. Friendified with Chat GPT and paste.
Friendified with
doesn't work. But it's too long for the I don't have enough.
Oh, for the bites. Mastodon. I mean, like this is a good, because what will happen is like this app is crap. This thing is the worst piece of, you know, effing junk I've ever seen. And what you get back from the developer is like little hearts. They're like, that's so kind. Thank you.
What was the other one he sent? He said something to Oscar Merritt. This is funny.
I think that was the one about the channel or something. Or no, I know what you're talking about. About the app. Your app's broken.
Yeah. I wish I could find that one. That was hilarious.
I can't
find it that fast. Anyway, it could be just on the receiving side. You could just turn on, make all posts friendly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have a choice. Everything gets friendified.
Yeah, that's something that I would I'd be okay with.
I would be fine with that too.
Oh, here it is. Understandable. Wait, this was the deplorable. That's what it was. It was the deplorable.
That's right.
Yes. And deplorable that GetAlbi is not offering. Okay, I'm going to do this. Deplorable that GetAlbi is not offering details in dashboard and an API message sender and message text or calling a blah, blah, blah. Well, it was a different post about deplorable.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, anyway. I don't remember exactly where it was.
Well, CSP's he's an AI guy. He can
figure it out. Yes, he can. That's the way to go.
He can write his own script.
That's the way to go. I think that would be perfect. It's much better. Much better that way.
Or do that thing where you know how sometimes they have those bots where you can say where you can tag somebody else in the post and the bot will grab that post and do something with it.
Like yes,
you can
yeah.
A friend, if you can say, you see a nasty post from somebody, you can say friendify. You can send it to the friendify bot, and it'll come back with a nice version. We got some monthlies.
Oh,
we
okay,
got,
good. Let's thank them.
Yeah, we got Brendan at Podpage, $25. Thank you, Brendan, over there, Podpage. Appreciate that. Jesse Hunter, $10. Joseph Maraca, $5. Emilio Cano Molina, $4. Mark Graham, $1, and New Media, $1. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all very much. Value for value. We've been talking about it throughout the whole podcast. It is a real thing. It does work. It's kept this entire, the whole community really together. We appreciate the value you send to the show so much. You can go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons. One is for your fiat fund coupons. As you heard, we absolutely accept PayPal. And the other one is for Tallycoin, for all that on-chain Bitcoin everyone's going to send us. And the last payment was October 27th of 2023. So it doesn't seem to be working that well. However, get a modern podcast app at podcastapps.com. Fill up your wallet. Boost us, boost to your heart's content. We read all the messages that you heard, and you contribute back to the show in two ways. One, by supporting the whole project, supporting the podcast, and by supporting us with some nice words of encouragement, we hope. Yes. We hope.
And if you don't, we will turn them into nice words on
our own. with ChatGPT. Exactly.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Well, where do we go? Wow, 217. This is long.
Oh, well, we're way over.
All right. I will get the action items from the AI later, and I'll have those ready for the next show.
I'll make a bold prediction that as of next week, none of these action items will be done.
Exactly. Hey, brother, have yourself a great weekend, Dave.
You too, man.
Everybody else in the boardroom, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week here on Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh, holy cow.